One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for listening to our show again. I'm Ryan, that's Dave and Bobby.
Hey, what's up?
So anyway, I came here in my wife's car, you may have noticed.
We did notice, which is...
we actually got a text that you were going to Uber. We're like, ooh,
I was going to Uber.
Check out who Ryan shares.
Oh, I just thought Ryan's drunk already.
That's a distinct possibility.
It's noon on Saturday. What else do we expect?
I'll have you know I don't start drinking till 2 anymore.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, that's my new thing. Eventually, I'll get to 5.
Now, that is technically a work day, but...
Yes.
So anyways, I got in a wreck yesterday.
A car wreck,
yeah. For no other reason than I wasn't paying the fuck attention. It sucks so much when it's your fault,
yeah.
100% dead to rights. Like,
well, first of all, let me just say this before you go any further. Congratulations to you for being the type of person who recognizes that and acknowledges yeah. it. Because I will say there's about 80% of people I've seen who either get in car wrecks with me, or I see them get in car wrecks, or they tell me the story of the car wreck later, and it starts with, yeah, I totally rear-ended this guy. But let me explain why it was his fault.
Yes, but, yeah. Oh, he stopped too fast.
I want this story to turn into Ryan was composing an angry rant on Facebook while he was driving.
I do not use my phone while I'm driving. However... It was one of those things where I was just having an argument with myself, and I was losing. I was getting real.
It was about how long he could not use the brake.
And so I'm just fucking talking to myself. I'm going off about it.
Now, is this on the way to work or home from work?
This is on my way home.
Okay, so it sucks doubly because now your weekend is about to start.
Yeah, and so anyways, before I knew it, there was just brake lights racing at my windshield.
Freeway, surface?
Freeway. Rush hour, stop and go. Just 100% my fault. I hate the people that say he stopped too fast. Like,
yeah.
You're not supposed to be trailing that closely.
Yeah. Technically, the legal law is if somebody were to mash on the brake and pull the e-brake yeah. right in front of you, you need to be far enough behind going at such right. a speed that you can stop.
Right. And he may have stopped suddenly. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
I was really busy giving it to myself.
So
he had been in a dead stop for about 20 seconds, which was just kind of...
Oh, and that's when the best possible car accident ever happened. I crippled the front of my car. My hood just covered the windshield.
And how fast would you say you hit?
Oh, not fast. The thing is, he was driving a tank. He had a lifted, reinforced Toyota 4Runner. Yeah. I'm in a fucking Chevy Cruze. It was just tinfoil against a brick wall there. His car was fine.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we both pull over. And the first thing, I'm just hoping I didn't hurt anybody with my fucking ignorance.
Sure.
So I run over. I'm like, oh, my God, man, are you okay? Guy gets out, looks at me, goes, holy shit, Ryan Shores, I follow you online.
What? What? Holy shit.
I'm like, yeah, hey.
This is his new viral marketing scam. I'll crash into you on the freeway.
Take a degenerate podcast sticker on me. I was like, oh, shit, man, I follow you. I'm a big fan of you and your wife, dude.
Holy shit.
That's hilarious.
That is fame. When you hit that level where you can randomly strike other drivers and they know who you are, that is fame.
I'm like, are you okay? He's like, no, I'm fine, dude. There's No, don't worry about it. Like,
the guy had seen Shores in his rearview mirror. He's like, I'm going to stop Shores. So yeah.
He just flips it into reverse.
Nah, he was a super cool guy. He's like, you can take my info just in case you need it for your insurance, but I'm not going to file a claim. You're fine. I'm like, there's a little dent there. He's like, don't worry about it.
Okay, let me just say, Ryan, I think you have been given the karmic gift of, because you took ownership for it, it was much better for you in the end.
Yeah, maybe that happened. So... He's like, well, if you need me to stay or anything? I'm like, nah, I'm gonna sit here in the hot sun and file a claim and wait for a tow truck that'll probably never come.
Wow.
But he's like, are you sure, man? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. He took off and we exchanged numbers, and I followed up to make sure he was fine. Anyways, so that happened.
So this is now a new bit. You submit to the Jenner podcast. Ryan will find you on the road somewhere and hit you with his car.
Yeah.
One lucky listener every week.
Whether you listen to this show or not, I'm doing that.
Wow, that is amazing.
It was amazing.
So did it all go well with your insurance after that?
Yeah, I I felt bad because the insurance lady on the phone was just trying to follow the rules, but I'm sweating out. You know, yeah. My car's wrecked. It's fucking 4 p.m. on a Friday. I'm on the side of the freeway in hot ass San Diego.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have no water. I'm fucking, I'm drenched in sweat. And I'm like, can you please send a tow truck? I'll file all this in the waiting room of the fucking inspection area. Please get me out of here. Like, well, we can't do that yet, sir. Now what color is your car? I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, please, I will do all this in an hour from now. Call a tow truck. I'll do this while I'm waiting for the tow truck. Sir, I cannot do that.
Did part of you go, wait a second, hold on. This just worked 10 seconds ago. Did you know I'm Ryan Shores?
Yeah, she's like, wait, is this Ryan Shores?
Yes, sir. I'm your insurance agent. I know exactly who you are.
Dude, I had a similar issue when I was dealing with insurance a couple weekends ago. I got a flat on the 5 coming down from LA, like middle of the day.
Yeah.
Well, and I was by Camp Pendleton. I was in the middle of fucking nowhere. Now, I know how to change a tire.
I was about to start making fun of you quite heavily.
No, I get it. I pull over to the side of the road. I go pop the trunk. I had to do a double take. Because there was no spare in there.
Now, was there a place for a spare? The spare is gone? Okay, because some cars, my wife had a Mini Cooper S, they run flats, and so they don't actually come with a spare tire. Some
this
cars
is a 2013
don't.
Honda. It's a decent car.
Right.
And so I was like, wait, there's no spare. What? So I had to do a double take. I lifted the trunk again. I looked. There was a tire patch kit.
Oh.
Which is useless to me, as my tire is basically shredded.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I can't do anything with this. What the fuck? So, first of all, why are we not doing spares in cars anymore? What the fuck?
It depends. High-end cars now, a lot of them don't have spares because they have
which
run
is ridiculous.
Flats.
Oh, and by the way, that patch kit, even if you could do something, it's useless unless you submerge your tire in water to find the hole.
Yeah.
Well, and they have like the fix-a-flats, which are actually fairly useful in a lot of situations, and those things can be good. But if you have a shredded tire, it's not going to do anything. It's for a pinhole. It is for a nail on your tire.
The problem I've run into is when I buy a car, I know there's a spare tire in there. I never look at the jack or inspect the jack. Who does that? Maybe Bobby because he used to sell cars. But I don't look at my jack situation.
Right.
So the very first time that I get a flat, then it's not just like the old school jack where it's, you know, it looks like a little AK-47. You throw it on there and you start jacking it up. It's like you've got to assemble it. You have to read the owner's manual to even find out. Like how, sometimes you have to like pull off a piece of the car panel where there's like a little inlet for it to attach. I'm like, that's the problem I run into. I'm like, I don't know how to work this fucking jack.
Dude, that happened to me. We were doing a big project out in the desert and we had like four or five F-150s. And we're in the desert. There's Choya everywhere. We were getting like two flat tires a week and they were all different models of F-150s. And I went to one to go change the tire. And I was like, how the fuck do you get the tire down? It's like mounted underneath the bed. And
I've run into that.
I had no idea. There was no manual in the car because who the fuck knows? It's a
you gotta put the rod through like the license plate.
There's like a little button that comes off the license plate next to the license plate, and then you stick this like 4 foot long metal thing through it into a keyhole, and then you have to do this fucking like Indiana Jones series.
Yeah, you should be right up your alley. You're an archaeologist.
That's the thing. Is like most guys get laughed at because they're on the side of the road with a flat tire, and they're like, oh, God, I don't know how to change the tire. No, I do. But my dad taught me where the only things you had were the lug wrench and the fucking jack. I'm like, if those were those two things, fine. But I opened up my fucking trunk and there's like a triangle and a fucking and a square and then two rods that don't connect. So see, I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm pretty good with this. I've never had this issue before, but now they take away the spare, so now I'm fucking helpless. I'm like, okay, so I have to call insurance. Now I'm in the same boat you were in.
Right.
I'm in the middle of fucking nowhere. It's like 3 p.m. and so I call insurance. First thing I ask is like, am I covered for this? Because I have like bare bones insurance. I'm like, I want to make sure I'm covered for roadside assistance. Otherwise, it's going to cost me money. She's like, you're covered. I'm like, okay, cool. How much am I covered for? Because in the past,
$40.
They'll tell you basically insurance I've had, like you're covered for this many miles of towing.
Yeah.
Like 10 miles or 12 miles or 3 miles, whatever. And so I'm up north. I'm going to have the car towed to my girlfriend's house, which is the closest place. I don't know how far that is though. So she's like, oh, you're covered for $100. I'm like, okay. How far is that? Oh, well, I don't know. That's up to the tow company. I'm like, okay, can you find out? Well, I can't find out until we submit the claim. I'm like, okay.
That's what I got a lot of yesterday, too.
I have to guess a distance and hope that it's less than $100 in towing charges.
Yeah.
That's basically what it came down to.
Did you ever think about calling an Uber to take you to the nearest Walmart to buy a spare tire and then Ubering back to the car?
I was looking at the map.
Where are you 2 weeks ago, fucking Bobby?
Dude, I was looking at the map to figure out where I was on the 5, and on a Google Maps, it gives you all the options like drive, walk, rideshare. Rideshare was not an option. Like when I clicked on rideshare, it's like no service available. I was on the phone with insurance for 45 minutes trying to get this woman to help me figure out how far I can be towed.
Yeah.
Finally, I was just like, fuck it. Okay. Here's the address I want to be towed to. So she's like, okay. And she sent me like a link to give her my location on the freeway.
Yeah.
So she knew exactly where I was. So 45 minutes on the phone with her. She's like, okay, a tow truck will be there about an hour. Because it turns out the nearest exit behind me
so now we're
is
looking
17
around
miles.
2 hours of you on the side of the road, right. Just about.
Because a tow truck has to go 17 miles past me,
right.
Then get out and turn around and come back. So I wait about 45 more minutes into this hour window of the tow truck time. And I'm like, all right, I want to see where they're at. So I call the tow truck company. Hey, where are you guys at? She's like, oh, we haven't left yet because we don't know where you are. 3.5 hours on the side of the fucking road with this shit.
Now, going back to my greatest car accident ever, another turn of luck happened is that the insurance told me, someone will call you to tell you when the tow truck will be there. Half an hour later, my phone rings. They're like, yeah, it'll be another 45 minutes. I'm like, I'm just going to die here. This is it. It's how it ends. And as I'm sitting there, I just kind of spacing out. A guy walks up. I look up and there's a tow truck right in front of my car. I didn't even see it go there,
right.
Mainly because there's a hood blocking my view. And it's this Armenian dude. He's like, hey, man, you need a tow? I'm like, I'm waiting for the insurance. It's like, he's like, and by the way, my insurance was going to take me into like, I don't know where, way far away from my house, you know, right. Take me further away from my house than I was going to go. Turns out this dude offers me a free tow to his body shop, which is approved by my insurance and all the major insurances, and 5 minutes from my house. So I'm sitting in his tow truck. He like put it on his truck in 5 seconds. We're sitting there in the air conditioning. He offers me a cigarette. And the whole time I'm like, is this one of those things where I'm going to get killed? Because I'm like, this guy was not.
They just stole your car for scrap.
And that's when I realized, I'm like, I'm not used to people being nice to me. This guy is just like, hey, win-win. My shop will get the business instead of this other shop. It'll be no cost to you, and I'll give you a free tow.
Nice.
And all I can think of is, you're going to murder me and have sex with me, aren't you?
Turns out he was also a fan of the show, so I'm right on the side of the road.
No.
That happened to me, too, though. When I was waiting for the actual tow truck, another tow truck pulled up in front of me. I was like, no, I already got a tow truck on the way.
Yeah.
Like, there's just rogue tow truck drivers going around looking for business.
Well, yes. There's the good ones, and then there's the bad ones that, that drive around looking to see, like, oh, that guy's not parked properly. None of my business, but that's $300 for free. Anyway, so our boy Connor, well, my boy Connor McGregor.
Disowned him.
He's had a hard week.
We got to talk about this. So if you haven't heard, a lot of people, I see it on the news a bunch, but casual fans don't know really what happened, which is...
Let's start a few months ago when where he apparently got into a brawl in a Dublin bar and maybe hit a member of the Irish mob.
Yes.
And people started saying he's acting out. Like, people in Ireland were like, he has gone from national hero to, like, he's still a national hero, but everybody is recognizing that he's acting out in weird ways.
Right.
Then fast forward to this week.
It's the same thing. Like, people make a shit ton of money and they lose their fucking mind.
Yeah.
They think they can do anything with no consequence.
Right. As I've described Conor McGregor, when one of my friends asked me, because he's like, you know about MMA, what's going on with Conor? Is it drugs or something? I was like, it could be that he's the greatest athlete in an entire sport, and it could be that he's a two-time champion, it could be that he's done
all this
stuff.
Let's not forget, no one knew who the fuck he was 3 years ago.
Yes, or it
could
be...
That's part of it.
He was on welfare 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He could be like the super poor dude who wins a $20 million lottery, but he's not able to buy a Kia Sorento because he can't figure out how to get auto insurance for the first time. Like, he is definitely got a bit of that going. So anyway, fast forward to this week.
Yeah, so anyway, this week, first of all, there's two stories of why this happened. I think it was a combination of the two of them. Khabib, who's a, I can't pronounce his last name. Anybody on that one?
Nurmagomedov.
All right, yeah, sure.
Close enough.
He's this Russian fighter who's undefeated. He was getting a shot at the title this weekend.
And backstory is, he was supposed to fight Conor. That was the big fight they were setting up for a title at 155, because Khabib is a guy who can very conceivably beat Conor.
Oh, yeah. So, anyways, Conor didn't take the fight for whatever reason. He wanted to fight a rhinoceros for $300 million or something.
Yeah, he fought Mayweather instead.
Yeah, I don't know what he was going to do instead. But Dana White announces, all right, Conor's not defended his title in a year and, a, and some change. We're stripping him as of this fight, and either Khabib or Tony Ferguson will be the reigning UFC champion, not Conor McGregor.
Who would be the two guys who would be on top right underneath Conor, the one in
right,
people.
Right.
Right. So anyways, and he's already been stripped of his lightweight title a while ago.
Featherweight.
Sorry. So anyways, after that announcement, Khabib in a hotel evidently tried to punk one of Conor McGregor's like teammates.
It was so this is an interesting story because the guy who is a teammate is also Russian, but he's lived in Dublin for 15 years and been Conor's teammate and trainer and stuff. And like, first of all, that's a horrible combination. You've just mixed two ethnicities that have are too riled up on their own to be mixed together. Now you've created some kind of horrible concoction. You've taken baking soda and vinegar and put them in the volcano.
Yeah, when I see an Irish person spliced with a Russian person, I'm like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. You're so focused on if you could. You never asked if you should.
And so he's Conor's boy, and basically he's on the card this weekend, as well as Khabib, who's headlining the card. And they were in the same hotel, and at some point, they get into some Russian argument. And by the way, this could also be an exchanging of Russian pleasantries, because you can't tell with Russian. Like, they could be saying, "How is your mother? She is doing very well. Thank you very much." Like, that is the way Russians talk. And so they got in some kind of, not physical altercation, verbal altercation. It was taped. You can go online and see it in the hallways earlier this week in the hallways of that hotel.
Fast forward and to, what is it, yesterday, day before?
Yeah.
At the media press conference, Conor and what I can only describe as goons.
Well, yes. They are goons, because if you actually rewind a little bit before that, 12 hours before, Conor heard about this altercation, made a call to Ireland, loaded a plane up with 20 dudes who then flew to New York to do this with him.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah. That is some Goodfellas casino shit.
Yes, it is.
Anyways, fuck it. I'm just going to say it. Conor's a legit gangster at this point.
He's a goon.
Dana actually said, I don't know if you guys saw this one. Dana said in an interview on one of the networks somewhere, he's like, Conor justified it to himself. He apologized, but he thought it was justified. He actually said, "I'm sorry about Mike. I'm sorry about Rose and whoever else, but this had to be done."
And if you wonder what this is,
he stormed the media event, and it's Conor McGregor, so he gets to breeze past security.
Right.
Even though he's shouting obscenities and has 20 people in tow, they're like, "Hey, Conor McGregor, cool." So anyways, he gets into the event. They surround a bus that they thought might have Khabib in it.
He actually, just as a backup story, he got one of the people with media credentials to open the door for him and his gang.
Oh, that guy's fired.
Yeah. Well, he is, but he's also probably rich. So he got them to do it. And this is not a media event like they're all in tables in front of things. This is the bus loading up the fighters to take them.
This is like underneath the facility.
And it's a non-public part of the sporting facility, so you are not allowed to be there if you have not been invited there. Conor gets led in through a side door by one of his guys who was in the media, and you see like
he's dressed as a waiter. Yeah. There's very little rascals.
As is Ocean's 11. All of a sudden there's 20 dudes who just surround this bus and start screaming. Now we don't know what happened before, but when the cameras click on,
and they're all yelling Khabib,
yeah, they're pounding on the bus, they're getting it, and Conor and some of the other guys start picking up metal objects, metal chairs, bicycles.
Conor picked up a dolly. Yeah. Metal dolly.
Well, but that was the last one. First they start picking up these things, they start throwing at the bus. Some UFC official, there's pictures of it, tries to stop him, tries to like grab some of the stuff out of his hand. He gets his hand broken by these guys who are in this melee. It's a melee surrounding this bus. Eventually, as the bus tries to get out of there and take off, Conor grabs a big hand dolly, a big moving dolly, and swings it, shattering a huge plate glass window that's on the side of it, who's right next to two UFC fighters who both get severely injured from the flying glass.
Yeah, one of them was, I was really looking forward to his fight tonight, Michael Chiesa.
Ironically, he had a really bad stoppage in his last fight, and this was kind of his redemption fight to come back, and he got such bad lacerations across his face that he couldn't fight tonight.
And then, you know, the other fucking, the co-headlining fighter, Rose, she got so shaken. Well, she's still fighting, but...
Yeah, and Roy Borg, who's also another one of those come-from-behind kind of gritty little dudes, he got glass in his eye, cut his cornea. He may never fight again.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so that's what's going on with that.
Yeah, so it was assault, and then he keeps screaming, keeps yelling at the bus, and then on cue, all of the guys run out like a gang does. Yeah. They just run out and leave into the night.
You know, I never understood Trump supporters that can stick with Trump through all he's done. Until I became a Conor McGregor fan, because I'm still on board. I'm still on board. I still love it.
It's so great.
That was legit gangster shit. Yeah.
And it's crazy because let's count the fights that got ruined. One.
Well, his boy that was on the car that was in that gang, he's cutting the fight.
That was the guy who was originally in that little hotel verbal altercation.
So that fight's gone.
The two fighters who got hurt, they happened to not be fighting each other. So those are two more fights that are gone.
So those
are three fights. Then,
completely unrelated to this, the last minute replacement of Max Holloway that put in for the headliner fight against Khabib,
he got medically declared unable to fight because it was just too much of a weight cut. And he got out and they put in Ally Aquinto, which is not really a fight.
Yeah, I love the trajectory of this headlining fight, which is first like, Khabib versus Tony Ferguson, an immovable object and an unstoppable force. Right. And then all of a sudden, like, yeah, he can't fight. Okay, Max Holloway, a pretty sturdy.
He's the 145 champ. Bring in the 145 champ. They're going to fight for a championship.
Yes, but
he can hold two belts at the same time, just like Conor.
Yeah, but it's also a guy who hasn't been training for this fight, hasn't been cutting weight for this fight. So we pretty much knew
that 195 for a 155 fight in 4 days.
And now he's like, all right, an unstoppable force versus a guy who's fought once in 3 years.
Yeah. Ally Aquinto famously threatened to leave the UFC because he was making more money selling real estate.
They had actually floated the idea for a second of Khabib versus Anthony Pettis.
Interesting.
And that just would have been horrible, I think.
Well, but at least then you would see some flashy kicks. It's like Ally Aquinto. He's Ally Aquinto. He's a grinder. He is what he is. There's no fight there. There's no chance he has to win. There's no way he could. At least you could say with Anthony Pettis, you could see a crazy flying kick and he could knock Khabib out. That's possible.
At very least, it's not worth $70.
Yes. And now I was just joking with our good friend Alan Henderson, who's kind of a UFC nerd a little bit, even more so than I am. I sent him the undercard. I was like, I recognize two people on this entire fight card that's not on the headliners. How many do you recognize? Because I feel like if between the two of us, we don't recognize more than two or three. They actually just pulled people from the stands of the weigh-ins.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you got to go pretty deep to get past both me and Alan Henderson.
They just looked at the roster and was like, all right, was anyone not hurt by Conor McGregor and his goons this past weekend? You're on the card.
And Conor was officially arrested, I think, Friday morning. He walked into a police station. He was arrested. The funny thing is going to be what they charge him with. So they can charge him with, obviously, assault. It's assault and battery. They can charge him with trespassing, and they can even throw some gang charges on him because he did it in a big giant group. They can do conspiracy charges because he flew a bunch of people in from Ireland. They can do international charges.
Say racketeering.
Dude,
he's going up to popcorn stands. Be shame if something happened to this concession stand.
If you're either of those two fighters who got hurt, or keep this in mind, either of the fighters they were supposed to face that now miss that payday, or the UFC official who got hurt, all of those guys have legitimate lawsuits against Conor McGregor.
Yes.
Especially the fighters who might never fight again could have multi-million dollar lawsuits.
That's right. You can make an argument about how much you would have made. I mean, it's very clear as far as the law is concerned. Like, here's how long a fighter typically fights. Mm-hmm. Here's how much I was making. And here's the trajectory of my career. Yeah, that's easily a $5, $10 million case.
Right.
And it will be interesting to see what happens, how long they hold him. Once they let him go, is he going to
let him go the next day. And they told him they didn't take his passport.
Oh, really?
They told him he was free to leave.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's surprising, because usually when you face that kind of large civil actions, they won't let you just leave freely.
He can't hide. So just look for a big yacht with someone yelling on it.
Dude, one other little tiny piece of this that amuses me, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, is how much this exposes Dana White's hypocrisy. Because he's such a piece of shit himself. But I remember back when John Jones refused to fight a replacement headlining a card. So Dana's like, we got to scrap the whole card.
Yeah.
John's not going to fight. We got to scrap the whole card.
Yeah.
And now you have 3-4 fights falling victim to this. And Dana's like, well, no, let's keep going. Let's just keep going.
Yeah. I think maybe he didn't realize how much money he'd lose when they scrapped the whole card. You know, so.
Well, also, what's
not doing that again.
What's come out is kind of interesting is this entire hubbub, which has made it into mainstream news, not just MMA news, is actually a huge advertisement for this card. So there's a bunch of people who are purchasing this card, even though the card now sucks. It's a dirt card. One of the few ones I won't buy. Even though the card itself sucks, it's getting huge numbers because it essentially has free advertising all over CNN and every news station.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of meltdowns, Ryan, one of our buddies has been in the news too.
Oh, Mr. Two first names himself, Owen Benjamin. All right, so for longtime listeners of this show, we had a guest. At the time, he was probably the second biggest guest we'd ever had on the show.
Right, and this was very early on. This was one of our first 10 episodes, maybe even less.
Yeah, yeah. So he was headlining the comedy club we used to take the show in, Owen Benjamin was, and Dave pulled him aside and asked him to be on. And it was a big get for our show.
Oh, yeah.
And then this guy turned into a condescending douchebag while on the air.
Yes.
He started making ludicrous claims out of nowhere almost to Bobby that race doesn't exist.
Well, this was what was funny. This is what's hilarious. For those of you guys who know his trajectory, he is now a crazy alt-right troll. And when I say troll, I mean he doesn't say things because he believes in them. He says things because he wants to get people angry. He called the one of the survivors of the Parkland shooting, a child who survived a massacre. He called him gay and like an idiot and blah, 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 blah. He is just a troll at this point. But here's the deal. He used to pander to the left just as much as he now panders to the right.
That's right.
He has a. I mean, listen. You can talk to him for 10 minutes and you realize there's a personality disorder there. He is pandering. It is unclear whether he actually believes anything he states or if he's just trying to troll people in real life. And when he was pandering to the left, he brought up an idea that was total pandering. It's a dick move because he knows it's hard for a white dude to argue this. But he's like, "There's no such thing as race," and I was like, well, actually, there are people like myself who go to school for a long time to identify the different racial characteristics of skeletons. That's why when you hear a news report, they say we found a skeleton of an African-American person. That's how they know that.
And by the way, this is when he said something that like that made me shut down for almost the rest of the episode. And I just sat there stewing like, I really want this to be over. Because first, he condescended to me and tried to insinuate I'm some sort of simpleton because I was trying to curb the madness that he was trying to like go off the rails with. I was like, let's get back to your career a little bit. He's like, no, I'm sorry. I'd like to actually talk about smart things instead of, I don't know, Bar Rescue Season 2, which is a show he was on. And I was like, yeah, you're also a fucking lunatic, whatever.
Appreciate talking about smart things. I like that part of it. What but I did,
this was not a smart thing. This is being crazy.
That's part of his mechanism, too, is he falls back on having two parents that are professors.
Yes.
He thinks he that qualifies him as some sort of authority on just about anything. He thinks any point he makes is you can't disprove it.
And by the way, not physical anthropology professors, which would have been relevant to this thing we were talking about. And you could clearly tell that he wasn't trying to actually explore an issue or find the truth behind what he was saying. He was trying to score points for his side. Hey, look at me. I'm super liberal. There's no such thing as race. And he did so in a kind of dishonest way. And that was annoying to me. And you could tell because when his arguments would get shot down, he wouldn't acknowledge it and be like, yeah, you're right. I guess I'm wrong on this. He would just power on with either my parents are professors or some other bad argument. My favorite was when I was bringing this up, I was like, how do you think we tell different skeletons when we find them? Well, you know, their racial characteristics. He's like,
in the skeleton black?
He's like, I got proof there's no race. Brazil. And I was like, what are you talking
Go
about?
On.
He's like, it's a mixture of a whole bunch of different people. I was like, that's like saying because green exists, yellow and blue don't also exist.
Right.
And it's hard to argue because you got to be like, I'm the whitest dude in the world. I look like Hitler Youth. I'm not saying there's differences in intellect. We should treat everybody the same. Absolutely. All that stuff. But saying there's no actual underlying differences in populations that came from different parts of the country is scientifically false and provably so very easily.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and he was doing that thing that the ultra-left like to do. They've come at me when I said publicly, I don't think trans woman fighters should fight females because if you've gone through puberty...
Yeah, Rogan went through all that.
Too. Yeah, exactly. That you I don't think trans women fighters should fight females that were born female. And a lot of people, you do not know. I'm like, no, I'm not saying we should treat trans women differently, but someone could get hurt here.
There's a little bit of science here.
Or I actually like Rogan's version of that a little bit better, which is you should be informed. Because the Fallon Fox thing, the problem with that, she was a trans fighter who came in and was fighting other women, and those other women didn't know.
They didn't know.
And if you know beforehand and you agree to it, that's fine. You're a fighter. You have assessed that situation or whatever. The problem was when people didn't know.
When you get into title contention, like, you know, it's like if you told Ronda Rousey in her heyday, you know, like you have to fight Fallon Fox now, or we're stripping you of your title, that wouldn't be fair either.
Right. Yeah,
so anyway, so he was doing that on our show, and then he said something to you. I can take it and condescend it to, but then when people do it to my friends, I get a little extra angry. He said something to the effect, and this is how he argues too. He says things like assuming the win, you know, which is a very tactful way of doing things. But anyway, he said to Bobby, like, look, I know you're used to being the smartest guy in the room because of who you surround yourself with, but you're talking to an actually smart guy now. So
did I mention my parents are professors?
He said something like, your usual shit's not going to work on me. Like, right. Oh, burn, fuck you.
You're right. Let's get rid of 150 years of detailed study of physical anthropology. Your parents are professors.
So I didn't like him. I fucking shut down for the rest of the interview. I'm like, this guy's a douchebag. But, you know,
I actually got along with him a little bit because I love scientific debates. And I didn't feel he was arguing honestly, but I took that more as a deficit of intellect rather than a deficit of character. I think it's probably more of a deficit of character now. But he invited me to a show that night. He's like, I'm doing two shows. You want to come in? And I did. It was funny. I came in and he was talking to this girl. They were both severely wasted. And I talked to her for a while. Turns out she was a young archaeologist who knew of me because she was working in the same field.
If you hit her with your car,
yeah,
she would have been fine.
That's right. She'd be totally cool. I ended up talking to her at some point. I was like, oh man, this is a great show. And she's like, yeah, it was really fun until he wouldn't stop trying to bang me.
Now, let's rewind. At this time, he was married, still is, and his wife was pregnant.
Yes, that's true. And listen, hey, let me...
No, whatever you're about to say, no.
I want
to
be fully charitable to a person because I don't like talking trash when somebody's not there to defend themselves. I don't know that he was trying to do this. I am taking her word for it. They sure seem to be having a flirtatious relationship at the table. They were both really drunk. Maybe she misinterpreted that. So I want to give the most generous interpretation possible.
Hey.
She felt that he was trying to...
There's no such thing as adultery.
Yeah,
Brazil.
So anyway, he becomes this alt-right fanatic, like we said, and now he posted this thing, I don't know where, that he's like, my Twitter accounts have been suspended.
Hold on, you have to go back 2 days to make this a great...
Now we'll do it the Tarantino way.
Yeah. He became kind of very, very far right, but again, a troll. And so one of his things was going after, the Parkland survivor shootings, this kid who was trying to fight for gun control because, you know, all his friends got shot. So he went after this guy, calling him gay, saying college is gay, saying he's an idiot, all this stuff. And then basically said, hey, by the way, go ahead and boycott me. I don't give a shit. I don't have sponsors. I'm just fine without you and blah, 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 blah. Screw trans people. I hate everybody. Whatever it was. And then, hilariously, almost as if he doesn't understand irony, which is weird. I heard his parents were professors. He should get that. But almost as if he doesn't understand irony, 3 days later, he puts up a post saying, Twitter deleted both of my accounts. How am I supposed to make a living? I have a wife and kids and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he's like, this is my way of making income. I need my Twitter so I can make an income.
And then he ended that with, you need to fight this. You'll be next.
Yeah.
No, and I'll tell you why. I don't go out on a public platform and troll shooting survivors, so right. I will not be next.
Right, yeah, it is pretty bad. And again, that in and of itself is very clear evidence of some kind of underlying personality disorder. There's something going on there that is not cognitively normal. But you gotta wonder at what point you stop letting that be an excuse, you know? Like, at what point do you go like, okay, I get it that the kid with Down syndrome has Down syndrome. It's not his fault, but let's stop handing him guns.
Yeah, so, I just love the irony of begging for support when that's the thing you speak out against, one of the many.
Right.
Speaking of shitty people, I was at the mall about a week ago. I saw a kid cussing out an adult.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, what's that? What age kid?
I'm going to say... 12?
Oh, no.
No. Yeah. No. And you know what? The sad thing is, I feel like I've seen this before. I feel like I'm seeing it more and more.
Now, did you get the impression that they were related? This is a kid's dad, or is this a random adult that they see?
This was, this is a kid with his friends, and he was carrying on in the mall, and like a mall, someone that worked there
right.
was like, hey, kid, hold it down a little bit, you know? And he's like, fuck you. I'm like, ugh. So now I imagine he speaks this way to his parents too.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I feel like kids aren't afraid of adults anymore.
True.
Because even shittier adults told them at some point, you know, you can talk to adults any way you want. If they do anything, you can just call the cops and they'll go to jail. And that's true.
And this is why you need to start enforcing this, which is rough up some kids every now and again. Now, I'm not saying hit them, because you shouldn't hit a kid, but here's what you should do.
Sometimes you should.
Here's what you should do. Here's what we need to do more often in society. That kid yells, "Hey, screw you, old man," to the guy telling him to calm down. That guy walks over to that kid angrily, grabs him by the collar, and just shakes him. That's it. You just grab him by the collar and you shake him. You go, "Hey, stop what you're fucking doing."
That adult can be charged with assault.
It doesn't matter. He leaves. He leaves because he's got a fucking car. That's the way you do it. What you need to do
is not that easy, Bobby. It's not that easy.
Tell that to Conor McGregor.
His friends have cell phones and recording it on.
You grab each one of their cell phones and you break them. That's it. That is it.
Listen, Bobby, I know you're used to being the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, right.
We need more people who are willing to stand up. Or here's
Well, then you take the lead on that,
Bobby. I will absolutely do this. Or here's another thing that you do. You go up, and hopefully you're a comedian, and you mock that kid incessantly in front of his friends until he cries, because guess what? Ain't no fucking law against that.
But you'll go viral on Twitter as a fucking bully.
Good.
Yeah.
It'll
get taken out of context. They'll be like, this poor kid was eating an ice cream cone.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this guy comes up and just mercilessly lays into him.
That's okay. You contact Owen Benjamin. Get him to support you.
Turns out the kid has Tourette's. Now Bobby's just like a villain.
So, no, I mean, it's happening more and more. I mean, I just remember being a kid. One incident perfectly sums it up. I was, like, horsing around in a locker room at the Boys and Girls Club, and this, like, older black man that worked as a referee was like, "Hey, do you have a problem? Get the hell out of here." And I felt fear as if it was just my dad saying
Absolutely.
It was an adult. An adult was yelling at me, therefore I was afraid. And that was a good thing. That's a good fear to have.
It's one of the reasons that I think, you know, we do baby kids too much. It's a cliche trite, but it's true. And one of the things that I have done actively, and my wife gets mad at me when I do this in public, but I'm like, listen, kids need to be made fun of sometimes. They do. It's healthy for them. They also need to be held accountable. And so whenever there's a kid who like falls down on a skateboard or trips on the sidewalk, I audibly laugh hysterically loud because I know he has too many parents at home going, "It's okay, Billy. Nobody saw." I want him to know that somebody saw and mocked him.
Dude, it goes deeper than that. Fucking, you know how every group of friends had a kid with a scary dad, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think that exists anymore either.
I feel like all of my friends, the ones who had dads, they were all scary.
I know firsthand, kids talk shit to their parents, not their own. Like, if a kid has a problem with a kid at school, those kids are talking shit to that kid's parents, too, online. I'm not kidding. It happened to a friend of mine.
Oh, my God. Yeah, see, that would not fly. I remember when I was growing up, we had a bunch of scary dads. One of them was my really good friend's dad, who was a 6'4" Naval Academy guy, badass. I think he did some stuff with the Special Forces and stuff. Huge, yoked, giant dude. And I remember one time we were like 16, something like that. We were in his house. It was like 10:30 on a Friday night. We're in his house in the kitchen. We came by after a movie. We're just like chatting, having fun. He comes downstairs in his boxers, just looking like a fucking G.I. Joe action figure. And all he says is this in his insanely deep voice: "I was sleeping. Now I'm not.
Oh,
go to bed."
Shit. I would have pissed myself.
We didn't live there. I would have been in my fucking car. Like, I was terrified.
Yeah. Oh, no. My dad was that dad, though. He would yell at my friends in his robe, which he was not wearing anything underneath, so it would fly open. You'd see his balls as he was yelling at you. It was terrifying.
I'm excited about being that dad, by the way. I am super excited about being that dad.
But no, right now, I have a friend who's like, her daughter had a problem with some other girls at school. These things happen. Mm-hmm. But those kids that she was having a problem with, they got hit up by the kids on like Facebook or something. Like, "Your daughter's a cunt." I'm like, this is happening? This is happening.
We got to get that Russian troll farm we talked about last episode in.
Let's change the name of the podcast to Russian Troll Farm.
Dude, I saw one news clip like a couple years ago about bullying at schools, where it was elementary school or maybe junior high, but they were really young kids. And this one girl, she didn't kill herself, but it was like something really severe, like something happened. So the news crews were talking to other children at the school, and the bullies, while these kids were on camera, were coming into the frame, bullying them, telling them to shut the fuck up and not talk to the news.
Jesus.
Really?
Like, what is wrong with kids?
I can't even watch that clip. I was about to ask you to pull it up to show me. I can't because I know how much it would get to me.
Oh, yeah.
See, I feel like that's the news reporter's responsibility to turn one of the bullies and be like, let's ask this chubby little kid right here.
Yeah.
Like, just do
How's
something.
It feel, you fat son of a bitch? I would love that.
We need to start a childhood version of vigilante justice. Let's get a new episode called Children's Vigilante Justice starring Bobby, and I will go around enacting. You know what? Donate to our Patreon. That is how we're going to fund this.
Wait, Bobby, did you ever get vigilante justice on a bully when you were younger?
I don't know. All the bullies were my friends. Like, my friends bullied me. And I bullied them. Like, that was more of the bullying atmosphere. I don't think I had, like, a bully.
That's not bullying. That's just breaking each other's balls, though.
Well, yeah, it was pretty extreme. But I didn't have, like, a bully since I was maybe a really little kid. So, no, I don't think I ever did.
Yeah. My bully, I my dad's advice, I socked him in the eye. Ooh. And I got a bus referral. And my dad took me out for an ice cream. He's like, good job. Yes, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. All right, before we go, this is the last episode we'll do before the big fundraiser that's being thrown for our friends Chuck and Kelsey at the Kensington Club in San Diego. All the guys will be there. It's $10 pre-sale, $12 at the door. Get your tickets at eventbrite.com. It'll be the Strikers, the Screaming Yeehaws, and a Misfits tribute band called The Fiends. It's going to be a great show. It's going to a great cause to help out a displaced family. There's also going to be a raffle with a lot of cool stuff there. One of my favorite restaurants, the Riviera, is giving away some stuff. Burning Beard Brewery, who we're affiliated with, they're giving away some beer. So go on down there.
You know, Ryan, I did a show there at Kensington Club for a long time, and one of the biggest complaints I would get over and over again, because sometimes it's called the Ken Club, sometimes the Kensington Club. It's very old, but for whatever reason, they're really shitty on Google and social media, and it can actually be kind of hard to find for some people. I would always get questions. So if you do want to go here, it's super easy. Take the 15 to Adams Avenue. It is literally like 100 yards east of the 15 on Adams Avenue.
Yeah, and you know what? If you want to, if you're feeling generous, if you can't make it, go to eventbrite.com. Type in, when I find the event, I just type in the Strikers and it comes right up. You'll see the flyers. It's called the Shitting. That is the title we gave it because our friends, their house was flooded with poo water. Anyway, if you're feeling charitable and you can't go, go to eventbrite.com. Find the event. Buy a $10 ticket anyway, and just, you know, that because it goes to a good cause. Anyway, that is April 13th at the Kensington Club. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the Twos.
How is your mother? She is doing very well. Thank you very much.
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing.